wasn't a machar or a makki, it's just doing that cut.
Okay,
and
okay,
so,
cool. Yeah. I got it. Okay. Yeah, very, very professional.
Thanks. Hey guys, what's going on? Hope you're doing super. No, what's going on? Hey guys, well, shut the fuck up, okay?
It's okay.
Hi, hope you're doing super well. My name is Vishnu Kaushal. This is an irrelevant person and...
get out of my fucking car, okay?
Alright, so this is the first podcast that I am going to be doing. I figured that... So I wanted to do one on Instagram initially, like to have a live video and then add one person, two person and then podcast. But then I thought ki nahin, zyada relevant log yahan par hai. Makes more sense. So anyway, in this video, we're going to talk about literally everything or anything and it's going to be unedited, like totally unedited. I hope. I think it will be. So we have some time before she goes to dress up her... Mommy.
That's irrelevant.
Dress up your mommy. So you're going... Is that a daily routine, Ankita? But anyway, this is Ankita. Ankita, please introduce yourself to
Hi
my
guys.
Parents for Shadi.
My only plan is Roka at 32, now you do it.
Yeah.
Hi guys, I'm Ankita Chawla. I'm 20 years old. I'm a media student. And... I am everything about design, poetry, confronting people, and I think that's about it.
Good one. So, why I wanted to have Ankita on my first episode of this podcast, which, by the way, I will get a name for, is one, because she lives nearby.
That was the only reason. Like, why did I wake up so early in the morning for this?
No, I'm kidding. So, I have actually been following Ankita since a while now. Like, I followed her way back, but then she didn't follow me back. So, I like, fuck off, okay? Kya Sundara kuch bhi kori hai to. Okay, then, but then we met at, what do you mean? तूने पीच पैंट्स पहनी थी बड़ी कूल वाली
पिंक हाउ डेयर
पिंक पीच पिंक आई एम कलर ब्लाइंड या सो दैट्स व्हेन वी मेट एंड दैट्स वेयर वी शेयर्ड गुड कन्वर्सेशन एंड आई फिगर्ड दैट दिस इज गोना बी अ ग्रेट थिंग टू टॉक अबाउट बिकॉज़ अपेरेंटली शी हैज अ लॉट ऑफ थॉट्स एंड आई वुड लव फॉर देम फॉर यू टू हियर इट बिकॉज़ आई थिंक अ लॉट ऑफ देम आर समथिंग व्हिच यू शुड लिसन टू इन जनरल एंड ओके सो लेट्स स्टार्ट विद द फैक्ट कि तुमने बेटा उखाड़ा क्या नो आई वांट टू गिव पीपल बैक अ लिटिल बैकग्राउंड टू व्हाट इज इट एग्जैक्टली दैट यू डू आल्सो आई विल पुट द लिंक टू योर इंस्टाग्राम प्लस योर इंस्टाग्राम दैट इज हायर अंकिता चावला इट्स सो फकिंग कूल ओके इफ आई कुड हायर हर I wouldn't because she'd ask for a lot of money, but I mean this in general. But yeah, let's go ahead.
So, talking about the things I've done and the things I currently do, I just got out of college. I'm a media student and I specialize in advertising. I have worked with ad agencies and the reason why I choose to do this is because it's something that is the first thought that comes in my mind when I wake up. So, it's something that comes to me effortlessly and I like to call myself a content creator, but over time I've realized how that's a definition that varies for so many people, because for a data analyst his or her content could be like completely numbers. For me, my data is just my pictures and maybe the art I make. For someone like Vishnu, his content could be this podcast that he's making, and even like it could mean so many different things for people. And over time I've realized that this umbrella term, first of all, caters to so many people, which I'm really glad, but also tends to be misused, because people are making content first of all out of nothing and then also curating it to make their own feeds look better, which I feel is not that great a practice. And I don't like, I'm completely against it. But yeah, over time I've realized with the things that I do, with the content that I create, there's a lot of things to learn about it, no matter how many, you know, 3-year courses you take. So it's something you realize over time while you work, while you produce something. And I just feel the experience you get while creating something, while collaborating with people, is something that a classroom cannot offer you. And that's why, like, one of my biggest tip to anyone out there who's, like, you know, lazy, has a creative block, or just is struggling to get themselves out of bed to do something but really wants to get shit done, honestly, just get out and have a good conversation. That is going to spark the rest of the process.
That is,
because that has helped me in the past. I have hit a creative block so many times. In fact, like, I think I just got over one now, and it's the worst place to be in, I'll be very honest. Because it's not like a creative block does not just come independently. It's not just a core spot that can be treated. It's something that comes along with a lot of other mental health implications, which basically, like, means you not being able to do stuff. And yeah, I just hope everyone has the energy and the courage to work towards it.
Nice. I was actually, so you've covered 3 or 4 things that I really want to talk about. That one is mental health, one is the creative part of your this. Another, so let's start with this. So you're talking about how important it is to have a conversation while having a creative block. Because I legit just, I mean, that's one of the nicest things someone has told me, and I think a lot of people will relate. So I really want to talk about how it is, what is it exact, how is it, first of all, how is it exactly that you know you have a creative block, right? The process starts from, like, just knowing, okay, just accepting the fact, all right, I am there. A lot of people are there when they're creating shit. Now what's the next step? But how do you realize, dude, I am sort of fucked? Or not fucked as in, but I am here now.
Is this podcast R-rated? Are you gonna, like, beat the fuck?
No, just fuck. Just say any fuck, drink, shit.
Yeah, you know, hell yeah.
Don't drink, guys. Okay.
Okay, in my opinion, I think there are levels of a creative block. Like, I think it begins with hating your work. And I know everyone has been there, because I don't know why we are so... And I'm talking as we, because, like, even I do that so many times. We are so afraid of creating amateur and average content. And that is amateur and average in our own, like, goddamn eyes. Because the fact that we are creating something, we're putting something out on paper, we're putting something out on, like, whatever multimedia format you want. But the fact that there's some production happening, that there's some creation happening, we don't value that process enough. The creative block stems from you over analyzing and then, like, going on to hating your work so much that your brain starts to shut down, because it's scared of your inner critique. And trust me, your inner critique is the worst fucking person to go to if you need feedback.
That is so true. Like, the moment you, like, put out something, you are already in the 2% who's making something.
Yeah, exactly.
Excluding the people who make TikToks. I really want to exclude you guys. Fuck off. All right. Sorry. Yeah, but if you, the whole creative process, as in just giving a thought what you want to create, then scripting it out, writing it out, and then actually, in your case, just thinking of a design, or maybe starting something, and then while you're making it, thinking of it and everything. So that already puts you up in a place where not a lot of people are. Yeah, so what's the next thing?
So, and also, I feel people, like, think that it's a bad thing to have a few unfinished projects. I mean, like, it is a bad thing if it is for a client and you haven't submitted them. But if, like, in my opinion, a work or an idea started is a job 50% done. And you need to credit yourself enough for that. Although, like, it does require a great deal of consistency, a great deal of determination to complete that job. But it's on to you if you take that in your stride. Because creative expression is something that cannot be mechanized or quantified, that, okay, today I, like, every day I have to do this for 3 hours. You can't do that. And like it has to come from within you. And if you shut yourself down for the stuff you create, no matter how immature it is, you are stopping and shutting your own creative process down, because you're conditioning your brain to think that no matter what I will do, I am going to make it sound like it's way bad than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And it happens a lot of times when I think of an idea and by the time I'm executing it, it's nowhere close to what I had thought of initially.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the constant revisions and changes I'm making in my mind of how I can make it better. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm tracing back the entire process of how, you know, it has deviated from my initial concept, like, I'm just looking at, okay, where did I go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I feel even that is a major, mm-hmm. like, role player in conditioning your brain to thinking that whatever work you're doing is bad and you should not be doing that. Honestly, work done is greater than absolutely no work done and you lying in bed and being on your phone.
I'm just thinking about, if I start this, then I have this problem and then I might not start. Okay, good. Alright, so now I want to talk to you about, so when I see your pictures on Instagram, don't be flattered.
Mm.
So there's a I sort of relate your feed consistency weirdly enough with not yours, as in general, with logon ki feed consistency and the type of content they create. If it's unified, I sort of relate it to the level of self-awareness that guy or girl has in at least his or her creative side of life.
Process, yeah? Okay.
Because I think when you know what you are, what you kind of content you create, you just know, right? I mean, has it ever happened to you, you're in just this right sunlight and you just it just hits your head, okay, I need a picture right now because it will look amazing in my feed. And so does that happen to you, or like, do you, if you see something and you just know, I will edit that shit. I know this is the right lighting, I know this is the right angle and everything.
Yeah, that definitely happens, because like, I, as a person, so I am a sucker for anything that has to play visually with light and shadow. And like, talking about people who have organized feeds and, you know, like, the level of self-awareness, I think for a person who has their feed planned, which is definitely not me, I think they just, like, know their next move, which is a great thing, But for someone like me, who just, like, you know, looks at something in an instant and, you know, takes a picture of it and then edits it because, like, I like it. I think that's about it. And most of my work out there is because I like sharing with the world what I think is pretty, what I think pleases the eye. And if they like it, I think it's just a bonus.
Nice. Yeah, so, I mean, adding on to that, how do you think you've reached that state in your creative process where, I mean, whatever you do, you stay in the same, I mean, you stay in the same kind of aesthetics. I mean, that's you. I mean, if I see a picture which has a color, like, it's when I see your picture, I even if I don't read the username, I know it's your picture.
Okay.
Right. So it kind of happens with me a lot of people, other people as well. And so for you, how do you think that happens? And
So I feel like maintaining the same aesthetic is never the goal of how I want my content to go out. In fact, like, I like to experiment and expand what I think could be, like, my creative expression. If it's a picture, I would want to experiment it with different elements. And like, I get the bit where, you know, you see a certain sort of consistency
exactly.
in the pictures.
There's a connect. There's always some connect between people and how they're creating and everything.
Yeah, and that comes, I believe, that could be done for so many other artists. Like, you can see a little bit of their personality that comes up in their work.
Exactly.
And, like, even though as much, like, as I want my content to be diverse, I know my audience tries to make sense out of it by connecting by connecting the dots and finding, okay, how could this be linked? And in my opinion, so I am like very, very fond of colors that pop. If it's like just a red, dirty, lonesome chair sitting in shambles in an old building and I think it's pretty, I will go and take a picture of it. But I know the people who are consuming what I create will try to make sense out of what I do. And which is the bit I really like, which is like which is when I want to know like their perspective on it, and that gives me motivation, that gives me more insight into, okay, what could I do next? If this is how they see it, maybe I could try doing something else. But that's just like half the bit of it. What was the other thing you said?
How do you maintain the consistency? That's the last thing I said. Because see, it's applicable to every artist that is possible. If you see a little clip of Casey Neistat's video, and if it's, even if it's not his face, you know it's Casey Neistat video. If you listen to Cigarette After Sex, Spurs you do. So if you listen to their, like, just a little part of their music, just the intro, you know it's their song. Right, similar it's with you and a lot of other people that I whose content I like.
So I believe that's just like my style of art, my style of content, which
but
is
what I wanna ask for a lot of people who are watching, who are maybe on a really because with time even I have sort of found a style with my videos, with my the pictures I click and everything, right? I want your perspective on how to build that style for people, like, because if, because I know a lot of people struggle with you know, just finding what's their thing, like. And in the process of that, they copy each and everyone till they find, okay, oh, this is what I like. So to save them the copying process.
Okay, first of all, I don't agree with the word copy, because it has like led to so much art theft, which is really uncool. And for the people who are still trying to find your style, I would say it's completely okay to take inspiration, and it's still completely okay to, like, you know, take someone else's format of work and mold it into your own idea, but make sure it stays an inspiration, because like the style you have right now, trust me, it's not going to be the same, I think, even like down the next 2 months. And I know that isn't the same for me, that isn't the same for anyone, because if you are seeking creative expression, it is a given that you are evolving as a person, and so is your art. Because I truly believe that art cannot be separated from the artist, and that is a conversation which we can go into a much deeper background. But right now I'm talking about finding your own style, and I feel the first ever rule to do that is to, like, have an inspiration board, have a mood board, like those, like Pinterest walls, those Pinterest boards, go and make them. Like Instagram now even has those, like it has had this feature for a while where you save it to certain collections. So whatever you think is your style, first of all, try labeling it. It doesn't have to be something as vague as, oh my god, I really like pictures of trees. Oh, I just really like pictures of people with their hands on them, hands on them, their
weird
faces.
Fucking fetish. Okay?
Yeah, no, like, I'm just talking about like something random.
So,
okay. But try to put what you like into something that you can first of all make sense out of.
Yeah.
Not that you have to mechanically explain what you're doing, but it's better to know what you're doing. That's like what I want to convey. And
yeah, so one of my friends who's like 20 years older than me, he suggested me, he's into design as well, so he suggested me, if you really want to know what you like, start figuring out, like, start by figuring out things you really, the very simple things you like, and then like give yourself like tons of content, tons of good content. Just surround yourself, like, just be crazy about the good content in that field. For example, if it's trees, what's the best fucking 100 pictures a day of a tree that I can surround myself
precisely.
With. And
exactly.
then when you just look at a tree, mm-hmm. you know, oh, maybe I can just click it yeah. from here because I saw someone mm-hmm. click it for then. That's inspiration. That's mm-hmm. not copying. Copying is yeah. like reposting and shit.
Yeah.
but yeah. So, yeah. Good advice. Alright. I wanna like slightly jump to since we're on social mm-hmm. media. one of my favorite subjects and one of the subjects that we had the first ever conversation on mm. was social media and mental health,
mm.
which is a really exhausted topic by now. Mm. But I don't think anyone, and I haven't connected with anyone who's mm. talked about it yet.
Mm.
So yeah, I'd love to hear your personal story mm. if you wanna share mm. About. How you've dealt with your mental health and social media.
Okay, so first of all, I feel...
Are you mirroring me, like, for real?
How? I kept my leg like that first.
I did that first.
You know, you were setting up the camera and my
pelvis. You opened my jutti like this. I opened my jutti like this in 2 seconds. And then you did it baad mein.
Get out!
That's a fucking answer for everything.
Fuck off.
Ha, chalo, acha.
So, okay, I feel there was a, like, this is before the invent of the internet. Social media and mental health could be entities that were mutually exclusive, but hmm. sadly now they're not.
Hmm.
And, like, has it contributed to people's deteriorating mental health?
Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
But is it the only thing that has contributed to people's deteriorating mental health? No.
No,
there are
no.
a lot of other things.
Yeah.
But talking about this fraction of the cause of what's causing people to like literally lose their minds is honestly term like breaking it down to the most basic bit is the FOMO. Is, and like word of the day is fear of missing out.
Repeat that. This,
okay,
this.
Breaking it down to the simplest reason of all is FOMO.
Mm.
Word of the day is fear of missing out, and I think there's like not a single thing that could be inflicting more just like self-deprecating thoughts on you than like just looking at pictures of people which give you a false representation mm. of what they could be doing, because like it is when you see people's pictures, it is annihilation of reality. It eliminates people, cut corners of their reality, the bad bits, and only show you what they think you should consume.
Mm. Mm.
And if you feel that is a fair picture to consume and then make judgments about the people that you interact mm. with on a daily basis, You can imagine and honestly measure the amount of damage it does. And this is for people like who are on social media for I think more than 3 to 4 hours daily. Multiply that with the number of people who are on social media just in the circle, you know. Multiply it with the people who are like on their social media right now in this like in the country, in and then just imagine the magnitude of like the impact it has just because you are being fed a certain picture by people, by the media, which only they think you should know. And like biased information leads to disputes is something that has been the principle for like honestly just so many professions,
yeah,
so many
yeah, yeah.
like it balance is the law of nature. And if you're not balancing out your like consumption with the actual reality, it's gonna cause some sort of disruption.
And that damage is clearly affecting a lot of people right now.
Yeah, and honestly, like there are times when even I need my social media breaks because sometimes I'm just like, oh my god, why are they hanging out without me? I'm definitely unlovable. And after that, I look back at this thought in hindsight. I'm like, bitch, what the fuck was wrong with you? What were you doing? And
mommy,
it's not just like people hanging out. It's,
mommy, can you come and slap me? Just
it's like,
slap the
mom, can you pick me up? These people are calling me basic. But I'm just thinking, like, when people feed you biased information, think twice. like, you don't have to trust anything that comes your way, which is why I feel like it is a time to, like, just consume whatever you consume with caution, because it also brings with itself a great deal of responsibility that you need to take for yourself, because just mindlessly swiping, mindlessly scrolling, mindlessly tapping has been leading to so many fights, leading to so many therapy sessions.
A lot of money
being wasted and spent.
Like, real talk, I wanna, Ankita, so I will accept the fact that in the initial stages of when I was just putting out the best pictures to, make sure that people think I'm happy and, you know, have an amazing life and all that stuff, I was doing that unintentionally. So there's a large problem there, because people, a lot of people that consume social media are doing that unintentionally, as in they know, they click on Instagram, they're gonna consume social media, but they don't know what they're gonna consume. With YouTube it's different. You click on a video, you know what you're gonna watch. With Instagram, you click on the app and then you scroll and you see pictures of someone on a boat and you see someone picture you. That is one part. And then there are people who are putting that videos and pictures, and a lot of them post unintentionally without an intention to of course they do have an intention, but that's not key to make someone feel a certain way, right? It's just to make themselves feel better about themselves, right? So I really want to ask you that, have you been in a phase where you've done what you've just talked about, and so how was it for you? What was on your mind when you were just portraying something that you want? And if there's someone who is currently portraying someone that is not he or she is not, what's up?
All right, so I would not want to lie. There have been times where, like, I'm in the worst state of mind. I'm, like, physically in the worst shape, but I would want to post a picture of myself from 2016 where I'm looking like fab as fuck, and I want people to validate me and tell me that, no, girl, you're worth it. Yes, queen. Tum hi meri ammi ho.
Those likes means validation for life.
Yeah, and like, at that point, because, like, serotonin is a weird fucking chemical and you want it all the fucking time.
I think it's dopamine.
Both are happy drugs.
No, serotonin is like a sleep-inducing drug, and serotonin and dopamine cause the effect of addiction. But just
cut this bit out, then. Okay? So, like, what? Like, the happy chemical,
yeah, I get it,
dopamine/ serotonin. Everyone like it's a weird fucking chemical, and everyone wants to like OD on it, which is why people lust for happiness. And there's a reason I'm using the word lust, because it gets to such desperate points where, like, people's social media reality often aligns with what their, like, real reality, reality is. And that is a really sad thing. And unfortunately, like, there are times when even I end up doing it, because first of all, ever since the, like, idea of shitposting came, like, I indulge in it. I mindlessly indulge in it. But it's just this vent I have where, like on a private account, where I can just, like, tell people that, okay, my public is, like, you know, where my skin looks good, my, like,
I'm glowing in shit.
Yeah, I'm glowing, my hair is on point, like, I need to be in whatever next movie you're gonna watch. And my private is just like, you know, sup guys, look at my pimple. So, like, I believe that is, like, okay. And that sometimes helps me. But just for the people who are using it as an active means to heal something that requires way more than posting a few pictures of you where you look good, there's something else that you need, and social media validation is definitely not one of them.
But yeah, as we're on that discussion, I just thought, no, so it's what you're posting on Instagram. So I'm thinking more of from a creator's point of view, right? Yeah,
dude, it was recording. No,
yeah,
on this side.
Yeah,
okay.
I hope.
Don't say I hope.
Yeah. So, as a content creator, you want to put out the best part out there, right? everyone does that. Like, that's the rule. Like, as an artist, as a painter, you want to put the best painting out there, right? Now, just because someone's inability to consume that content in the right way that you post it, should that affect? It's a discussion, right? So it's not something I want to. I want to discuss this, right? So, just because someone's inability to react to a post the right way, do you think a creator should not, like, an influencer should not post the best bits from his or her life? Should not, because that's what gets like after all, and everyone wants to reach a certain stage where they can make money off Instagram or make money off doing just posting pictures and shit, just talking about their life.
So I don't feel a lot of people I know are motivated by the fact that they want to make, like, money off of what they're saying. And that brings me to the point where if artists should reconsider what they put out, considering they don't get the reaction from the audience what they expected it to be, which often leads to misinterpretation of their art or their content. And it brings me to a question which is again very debatable, which is, like, who are you making your art for? If, like, are you catering to an audience or are you catering to your own expression? Because if you're making art for yourself, ideally, in an ideal scenario, it shouldn't bother you. Your, like, quality and tone of your content shouldn't, shouldn't change if you get a reaction that's not what you expected it to be. But since you're putting it out there, it is open for, like, public scrutiny, essentially. And when people interpret it in something that you don't want it to be, it often calls for introspection for your art, and you should do that, because, like, it's humility at the end of the day. And at the center of all, if it's something that is fundamentally wrong, if it's fundamentally problematic, it's still not too late to change that. But if it's something that requires you to alter your, like, style of working or your, like, self-expression altogether, I wouldn't suggest that.
So I want to connect that to the mental bit we were talking about. After what you said, what I think is that agar tum apna style nahi change karte because someone else is not reacting the right way, if someone else is, it's the creator ki problem if they are showing the best bits of their life because they want to look happy, or is it the consumer ki problem because they're just consuming someone being happy, they have a pseudo image of, you know, a reality that should be true, or a place there ki haan yaar aisa agar main karunga ye brands paunga to fir I'll be better looking, khush, sort of thing. Is it the creator's problem or is it the consumer's problem?
Can you repeat?
Are mental health wale, so you just told how you shouldn't always change your style based on someone else's opinion, right? But also you shouldn't authenticize it as you go through your journey. Now if someone is posting something, theek hai, and us something ko dekh ke koi soch raha hai ki mental health wali bit ko relate karke ki that's the kind of happy I need to be, that's the kind of goals I need to set, that's the kind of brands I need to wear. So is it the problem of a consumer or a daily active user, or is it a problem of the creator who is creating this to create better?
I don't think it's either a consumer or a creator problem.
There is definitely a problem.
I'll highlight that. I'll highlight both the sides, because, like, I think we've been there on, like, both ends of it, creating the same, like, feeding...
Yeah, all the time.
Feeding people a picture and also being fed a picture by other people.
Absolutely, all the time.
Been there on both the sides. But I feel, like, essentially it's a capitalistic problem. It's not a problem of the creator or the consumer. But that's what, creative like, you need to have standards for your own creative liberty and your own consumption liberty as well.
I think that's a really nice
and because, like, if you are there on both the sides, and often most of the people are, because, like, an influencer is not just someone with a K in their follower count. It's honestly, like, it's anyone who could, like, influence the next action you take. And it could also be someone without a social media account. Like, if, honestly, my neighbor, who's 82 years old, tells me that, okay, this oil is going to, like, change my life and just make me, like, make my hair really good in the next month, hell yes, I'm going to try it, because she has experience and it is definitely going to affect my decision. Consider me influenced. So,
but again, so yeah, the consumer creator problem hai, and then there's an angle of mental health. So clearly people are being affected by that. If it's not the creative, it's not the thing. And there's a whole base called Instagram, which is a capitalistic thing. You were talking about, which I now consider. Where do you think the problem is now? So,
the problem is because, like, we are constantly being told that, hey, you're dissatisfied with yourself. Hey, I think you should not be okay with the number of things you have. I think you need more. And then there's also the angle of, hey, if you get this, maybe you would feel better. And soon, once you're bored with that, we have more things for you to buy. We have more things for you to look at. So we'll keep that process of dissatisfaction in your own mind going for you. So, like, just keep consuming our content. Okay, this is the angle from...
Like, comment, and share, guys. That's the cringe thing. Acha. Okay.
So yeah, this like, that's the creative liberty I'm talking about, and like I sometimes I feel, you know, the entire picture we put out in order to influence people, in order to convince people, people often look at it from the perspective of actually cheating the minds of consumer. Okay, having worked in an advertising agency and trying to sell products, you know, whose flaws I am well aware of, but still making it look good as any other product has been a really challenging job. And in mechanical terms, like, being very pragmatic, it's marketing at the end of the day. It's like making something sound correct, making something look correct, even at times when it isn't, and which is also the job of a lawyer, if I'm not wrong. And like, today when we look at this entire scenario from the angle of how it is impacting the mental health, it is inevitable that it is, first of all. But second of all, like, when people are asking people to be convinced of something, it comes with a certain ethical responsibility on them. So, like, I'll give you an example. Kim Kardashian was promoting these appetite-suppressing lollipops a year ago. And I looked at it, I was furious. I'm like, I get it. For people who struggle with binge eating, like, because binge eating is now...
addiction,
It's by the ICD, it's a proper recognized disorder. And... like, binge eating and obesity are definitely problems to be dealt with. Is this lollipop a solution to it? Is this appetite a lollipop a solution to it? Definitely, yes. But this lollipop in the hands of someone like Kim Kardashian just looks like a tool to, like, you know, achieve something that is unattainable.
Exactly.
Achieve something that has been done with so much plastic surgery, like, so much money. And... feeding people the image
that
you know, they could do this if they buy this product. And when people do this, the entire dissonance people have with, oh, hey, you told me to do this, but it never happened. It definitely takes a toll on them.
But they can't even, the problem is they can't even ask them that shit, right?
Because there's no verification process.
No one can go to Kim Kardashian, dude, maine the lollipop khai. Oh, that sounds weird.
Because you're influencing, you're not promising.
Yeah, exactly. And if there's such a thing, then there should be a prescription, right? If there's like, you cannot just give lollipop to everyone, or you can't have a fucking, you know, that what do you call it? You can't have just polio drops in every I mean, you cannot hand the cure in the hands of people who don't know how to use it, right? You can't just give the lollipops to everyone. I mean, bina tum kisi ko prescribe kare, if it's a disorder, there has to be a prescription for it.
No, I mean, like, if it's an epidemic, then, like, it definitely, like, needs
but
to
still
be
still to
given.
The people who are actually suffering,
but,
right?
But, yeah, okay. So, exactly my point. If it's something that is as serious as obesity, if it's something as serious as binge eating, and you're, like if you're treating this product as a medicine, if you're treating this product as a cure to something that could be close to fatal, that could be close to deadly.
Exactly.
You giving it to someone who is all about surgery, who's all about cinching their waists, like, which is okay. It's Kim's body. She gets to do whatever she wants, but she stands for something. Her personality is known for something completely different than, like, a medical cause. And which is where I'm talking about the deviance, the dissonance it causes in people's mind, which leads them, like, you know, to having a lot of dissatisfaction with themselves, where they do not get the results as the influencers promise them to be, because everyone is trying to look the way people are making them look them at.
Awesome. So,
yeah.
Are we continuing? Yeah.
Okay.
Great. I have a really cool topic for you. So, this Kim Kardashian bit really reminded me. Body size issue reminded me of a lot of things, which now become political, and which should have been a personal issue, but